Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5pm.
Melbourne's Drive Time radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR, 8:55am, 3CR Digital Radio and 3cr.org.au. My name's Mark and joining me today we have singer-songwriter Jen Frank. Thanks for joining us today, Jen.
It's my pleasure.
I'm going to open up the show by asking you, what does the term mental health mean to you?
Okay, for me it's about looking after your own mental and emotional health. And recognising that sometimes you may have a mental health issue that requires medication and not to be scared of that because it can be really helpful.
I'm curious, do you have any thoughts about people that are in a position where they are given the option to take medication but there is some sort of reluctance there? Is that something that you notice a lot in the mental health community?
I was in that position. I made the mistake of not taking medication early on and I developed schizophrenia. Had I taken medication for stress earlier on, I might not have had that brain flip.
Right.
And so It might have just been a short-term thing and not a lifetime thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, taking medication for a mental health issue, particularly stress or something like that, can actually help prevent something more serious developing. Because we are talking about our brains.
Yeah. Can you remember back then, can you remember what some of the reluctance might have been for you, what you were feeling?
Just that I'd been brought up believing that taking medication for mental health was a weakness and that you didn't need it and you could deal with it on your own and all that old school stuff, which really I think is very old school and very Australian, and I think that as medicine progresses and as our understanding of mental health progresses, I think those old ways of looking at things really are unhealthy.
I think that as our understanding of mental health struggles has broadened and also the destigmatization of having mental health struggles has slowly sort of working its way into the broader society, including people who don't struggle, it makes people who are struggling feel less afraid to, try things that might help and also be open about it, and not look at it as a weakness as well. Yeah.
Well, it's not a weakness, but there is still a lot of stigma. I don't.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Hi, I'm Jen. I've got.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
As opposed to, hi, I'm Jen. Don't touch me. I've got a cold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
it's different. Mm. But I think as society progresses, but there is so much misinformation out there about mental health.
Yeah.
That I was developing schizophrenia and I didn't know anything about it. And so I didn't know what I had, and it took me a long time to recognize what I had because there is no education about mental illness through schools, which is where you pick up a lot of your learning. And, you got a few movies, but they're really not accurate.
Yeah. I think most of the time when people with the lived experience of a mental health struggle, usually if we're watching movies where whatever we're going through is portrayed in a movie, I think it's to watch it and go, no, that's really wrong. This is a terrible portrayal. It's, you know.
That's right. And doesn't educate on, like, for example, people think schizophrenia is multiple personality disorder, which it's not.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I really think that in high school, about second form, they should do a couple of months on mental illnesses and what their symptoms are, so that that broader understanding comes into play, so that if you've got a friend with a particular illness, you understand. And if you start developing that illness yourself, then you would know that you need to seek help.
Yeah, you can identify the thing.
You can identify.
Like, oh, that's this. Yeah.
No, that's wrong. I need to be seeking help. But there's not enough mental health services out there.
Yeah.
Getting to see a psychiatrist can take you 9 months. Quickest way to see a psych is to go into a mental health institution. And I can tell you right now, they're like prisons.
If going into hospital is, you know, the quickest path for people, that just shouldn't be the case. Yeah,
that was my path, and that was how I actually ended up, getting help. But they lock you up; it's like a prison, and you've actually got less rights than a prisoner does.
Yeah,
You know, you've got no rights whatsoever, and they shove medication down you. You've got no choice but to take it. They don't explain to you what it is. They don't give you options. It's just, here you go, this is what you're taking.
Yeah, they're the expert and you're, you know. Yeah.
And they gave me stuff that causes diabetes, and I had diabetes running in the family, so guess what? I've got diabetes.
You're a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
And you have an EP coming out
very shortly.
When's that due out?
It's due out on the 8th of August.
Oh, awesome. Very soon.
Yes, very soon. And it's called Friend Zone. And it's basically 6 songs of a variety of genres. But it's all, you know, 60s, 70s-ish sound, which just happened. That's just the way that we interpreted the songs at the time. But I seem to do 60s, 70s style, mainly because, you know, I write on a guitar, so it gets that folky sound to start with.
I've had a listen to the new EP and I really enjoyed it. I've noticed a bit of a theme running through it. Sounds like you've had some interesting dating experiences.
It's not all autobiographical.
Autobiographical. All right. What were some of the inspirations, that were going on for you during the writing of that EP?
My type is toxic. So I had to recognize that my type was toxic to me. I always seem to get these gaslighting narcissists.
Okay. All right. See, that, I think that can be really good for songwriting inspiration, but maybe not for the type of love life that you might want.
That's right. It once took me 3 years to break up with somebody because this particular guy just wasn't going to be broken up with.
Breaking up is very hard, though.
It is hard.
I think a lot of people struggle with breaking up.
Oh, I broke up with him and went to Egypt, and he cost me $1,400 in phone calls because he just would not leave me alone.
Okay. So you went to Egypt. I don't think I've ever met anybody who decided to break it off that way by going to Egypt.
I had a holiday planned to Egypt.
And okay.
Off before I went on the holiday.
Right.
And he would not leave me alone. And I turned my phone off and turned it back on again to all these phone calls on voice message. That every voice message you had to pay for, and it cost more for me to retrieve the voice messages than it was to leave the phone on.
Okay, I hope he didn't ruin Egypt for you.
Oh, God, no. Nobody was going to ruin Egypt for me.
This might be something that a lot of our listeners who also struggle with mental health struggles might relate to, but when it comes to dating and, you know, that just the idea of, you know, when do we disclose that we do struggle with our mental health, you know, yeah. Is that something that comes up for you? It's like, oh, do I put this on my, you know, if you have a dating profile, do you put it on your dating profile? Do you mention it on the first date or during the conversation, or do you just leave it as a surprise for later? Maybe, you know, how do you deal with that conundrum?
If I start thinking that it could move to something else, I will bring it up fairly quickly after it starts the possibility of moving forward.
Yeah.
Because for some people it's a red flag and a non-negotiable.
Yeah, right.
And what is the point of wasting time or wasting emotional space when as soon as a person finds out, they're like, nah, not interested.
Exactly. And so in a way, it's not for, you know, sometimes it's not always for them, but sometimes it's for us sort of getting our hopes up and, you know, excited about someone only for them to go, no, this is a non-negotiable for me.
That's right. And I've had that happen to me. It's like, sorry, it's not, you know, nothing against you, but no. I'm like, yeah, whatever, glad I know now rather than in 6 months' time.
Yeah, and just to go back to the EP, one of the tracks that I really enjoyed was Fat Chick. It's a really good song about the pressure that, let's admit it, mostly women are put under to be thin. I think the chorus is very catchy and kind of fun. And I really like the voice where you kind of lament some of the lengths that, you know, some women will go to in order to, you know, conform to certain, I don't know, to appeal to certain people, including having ribs removed, which is a surgery that I only just recently became aware of, actually. How do you navigate not only being someone with the lived experience of mental health struggles, but also feeling a certain pressure to, you know, look a certain way when it comes to dating?
Well, I mean, I am overweight, and so there's nothing that I can do about it in the short term. I've accepted my skin, okay? That song came about because I asked somebody who had a cup of coffee on a seat at a tram stop, and I said, do you mind moving the coffee so I can sit down, please? And he's like, I'm going to do what I want to do, you fat bitch.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, that's just not on. And so that's how that song came about.
Right, right. So it was from being abused in public.
That's
like
right.
basically, you know, not being respected as a person.
As a person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that most people would think that behavior is completely unacceptable, but people might think it and not say it. And so the song came about, and there were a lot of rewrites for this song before I landed on something that I was happy with.
Yeah.
Like the second verse was totally rewritten because I actually stood up to perform it and I explained the song, and somebody said to me, I didn't understand the song until you explained it. And I thought, well, that's not right. So I actually totally swapped over the second verse.
Okay.
And wrote about, you know, the downside of, you know, trying to conform to these unrealistic expectations that magazines give children.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
They have a 14-year-old who's had two ribs removed. They've airbrushed them to make them skinnier, possibly even lengthened the video. Masked over the fact that the girl's actually anorexic with airbrushing, and then present that to 14-year-olds as something they should look like when they're 18. And it's that the song is very much about how society just really, you know, really has an unrealistic visual fiction in magazines that we're supposed to look like, and men as well.
Oh, of course.
But it's much more prevalent in female magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that the song is also about, hey, you know, this is my skin and it shouldn't make a difference. But also I've been fat, I've been skinny, I mean, I have been like a size 10. I can't get down to a size 8 because my body shape won't. I've been a size 10 and people talk to you differently based on your body size, particularly men, but women as well. And it would be the, like for men, it would be the opposite. And they literally talk to you differently, which it just shouldn't be the way. Even the body language is different. When somebody talks to you and you're skinny and somebody talks to you when you're fat, their body language is different. And the, it is so I don't even think people realize that that's actually what's going on. They think they're treating everybody the same, but the whole body language is different. It was funny. I was one of my singing teachers used to do performances where we all used to get together and do performances.
Yeah.
And there was this particular guy who had known me and I'd been size 16. Then I got down to about a size 12, size 10. He came and he started flirting with me. And then I said something and saw the look of realization on his face that he actually knew me. And just the way that he, and he's like, his face was flushed and he's sitting there flirting with me. And previously he just like spoken to me very politely.
How would you, you know, regard, you know, how did you regard this person knowing that he, you know, was happy to flirt with you at one time in your life, but at another time kind of invisible to him? How do you sort of deal with that?
I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
It's like I've never been one to take these things totally personally. Like I didn't agree. I just thought it was funny.
I think I think some of your humour definitely comes through on your some of the songs on your EP as well. And I think that's something that listeners will also notice when they listen to it. We're going to play Fat Chick by Jen Frang, and I hope you all enjoy it.
I'm a fat chick, just a fat chick. Body's way too thick. Shouldn't make a dip, but it does. Skinny chicks, they find it easier, men. They find them dreamier. Life for her is sunny because she's such a honey. How many times have I heard, just for image we chose her. I might be a better singer. She's like Princess Kate. Dead set ringer. I'm a fat chick, just a fat chick. Shouldn't make a dip, but it does. I'm a fat chick, my body's way too thick. Make it dip, but it does. Skinny chicks, they find it hard, from bulimia to anorexia. Models removing their ribs, they start them off when they're only kids. Body image creates pressure. Try to present a made-up treasure. Magazines are brushing children with bodies that are way too thin. Fat, we are judged because of that. Guys just wanna be our mate, so it's hard to find a date. It sucks when guys screw up their nose when they check us out from head to toe. I'm a fat chick, my body's way too thick. Sure.
Brainwaves on 3CR. We're talking to singer-songwriter Jen Frank. So, Jen, when did you start playing music, learning musical instruments?
I really can't remember because it was that long ago.
Oh, okay.
One of my first memories is me tinkering around with the piano at home and my dad teaching me to play simple songs.
Right, okay. So piano was where it all started.
Piano was where it was all started. Guitar came in about 12 years ago.
All right. So you've only been playing guitar for 12 years.
Yes, that's right. So that's not me on the EP. I'm not that good.
No, okay. So you wrote the songs on a different instrument and then worked with other musicians to interpret them? Or you actually play piano. That's your primary instrument, is it?
Well, I haven't played piano since I was 16.
All right.
When I started studying seriously for my HSC, which is, my VCE back then, I stopped playing piano and I haven't really taken it up. I tinker around with a little bit, but I chose guitar to be my songwriting instrument because where I was learning songwriting, everybody was playing guitar.
Right, gotcha.
And so I bought a guitar, picked it up and started playing it.
Yeah. What is the songwriting process for you? Do you write the songs and do you work with other musicians to sort of interpret them in a certain way? Because how does that work for you?
Well, the songwriting process I've got is I'd normally come up with the lyrics first and I normally get a hook in my head. Like for me, a modern song needs to have a hook. And so I will come up with a hook first, which is normally either a refrain or the chorus. And then I'll sit down. Once I'm happy with that, then I'll sit down and I'll write the verses around it, which sometimes it'll just come off, off the top of my head really easily. Sometimes, with Fat Chick, it was a total rewrite 3 or 4 times before I was happy with it. Sometimes I'll sit there and, use songwriting tools to brainstorm, different things I'm going to write and then write the lyrics around like that.
Yeah, but right.
It's always the hook that comes first. The topic comes first, really, and then sometimes the hook will come straight away. Sometimes I'll be thinking about the topic for 2 weeks before I come up with the hook.
Yeah, right. So you could, you might be, walking around and you might have things going, working in your head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then from there, I'll then craft the music.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned some of the musical, the musical styles that sort of just came to life while you were writing the EP, might not usually be genres that you have written songs in the past, but I definitely noticed a bit of country, definitely 60s sort of pop music. I've noticed some of that and some rock and roll. So is that what you sort of listened to recently or,
To all sorts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. What do you enjoy listening to?
I'm an 80s chick.
All right.
Because that was my teen years.
Of course, yeah.
But I listened to everything and I had a singing teacher who would pass me through all sorts of genres and expected me to nail every genre. And that really expanded and I started listening to music to be able to nail those genres. So it really expanded my musical field.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Those were the days of CDs, so I was buying CDs to do it.
Right. Yeah. So it was a lot more expensive in the 80s and the 90s. Well, I guess before streaming. But also I think some of the fun of that era was making mixtapes for each other. I'm not sure if you did that, record songs for so you can trade, you got to listen to this. I think that's something that the younger generation sort of misses out on the fun of making mixtapes for your friends.
And recording off the radio.
Yeah. I think it must be really good to actually have lots of different sort of genres sort of swirling around in your mind while you are going through the process. Because if you have a particular theme or an idea for, you know, a lyrical theme for a song, you can sort of pinpoint what the best sort of sound would be to express that idea, I imagine.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it's always, this is the idea, this is the hook, what goes well with that.
Mm.
And also I would send the demos into the sound engineer who crafted the songs.
Yeah.
And a couple of times he came back with something different to what I'd originally envisaged, and it worked really well. So, yeah, he came back with one that was really different, and I sent it back and said, nah, not that one.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like you have a really good collaborator that you're working
with. I do, yeah. And I go to Wild at Heart Community Arts, and they've got a lot of mentors there who will help work with me to, develop the songs. I mean, I'm driving it, but they'll help with ideas and things like that.
Okay. What Wild at Heart, so could you tell us a little bit about who Wild at Heart are and what they do?
Wild at Heart, they're a not-for-profit organisation that helps people with disadvantage, mental illness, disability over musical things. So they've got a hip-hop group and they've got a songwriting group. And so I go to the songwriting group, which is on a Wednesday, and they do songwriting workshops. You'll spend some time one-on-one with a mentor just to develop your songs and to develop your ideas. And it's really cool. It is worth it. And it was very, very much, very, very much assisted me in my healing from my mental illness. It right. made a huge difference to my outlook.
Would you mind talking a bit about that, about the role that music composition has played on your mental health?
Okay, well, music's always been a big part of my life, as you would imagine, having started playing piano when I was three. I was never a virtuoso. Mechanically, on piano and guitar, I'm not a natural. I've always had to work at it. I've got a few things funky with my hands that mean that I find it difficult. Singing's always been my jam. That's what I find easy. And I did a lot of dancing when I was younger. So you'll hear the rhythm through my songs. That's if I can tap my foot or if I can move my body with music, that's what I like. And so with the mental health, pulling from that, starting to craft music and starting to become being able to drive it myself with creating music and learning how to craft a song, learning how to pull the music together, it really, really helped me focus my mind on something that I really love. And it's been proven scientifically that music and art is therapy for mental illness issues. I read something just the other day about how they've recently done studies on the activity and how the brain activates when music is on. And the brain actually activates differently depending on what type of music you're listening to.
Yeah.
Different type of music. And by listening to music, it actually activates most of the brain. We're doing activities which are normal activities, in inverted commas, only activates part of the brain. So the activation of the brain when listening to music is much more holistic. And I think that's why music is very helpful with your mental health.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Art as well, but I'm not an artist. So I can't draw for squat. But art as well, for somebody who's an artist and artistically inclined, that can also really help with your mental health.
It's funny that you say that, because recently we had a music therapist on Brainwaves, and we did talk a bit about how beneficial music, but also music composition, collaborating with other people, creativity, expressing creativity is for, you know, what a positive effect that does have on people who are struggling with, obviously disability, mental health struggles, you know. So one of the things we actually did talk about was how important it is to manage whatever struggle we might be dealing with. So, for people that are struggling with their mental health, it can, you know, sometimes be difficult to pursue our creative passions. Can you tell us a bit about how you navigate the times when you're struggling so you can express yourself musically, so you can express that part of yourself?
Okay, there's two sides to it. The first one is having schizophrenia, I take medication, and that has not fixed it, but that's created a situation where, the voices that I was hearing is at a level that I can deal with, right? So that can't be stressed enough. But I get overwhelmed if life is stressful, and the only way I can really deal with it is to take time out. And I actually take time out watching TV. That's my time out, because you don't have to think, you don't have to do. And then my healing time is playing music. So time out is really just to give me the breath, and then I'll work with the music. Some people are opposite. They will do the music as part of their time out, but I need to literally stop, and it's also almost meditation, watching TV. And then I'll go to the music, and the music helps me express myself, helps me feel better. There's a, you know, it gets the endorphins moving so that, yeah, it gets the endorphins moving so that it helps me get a brighter outlook on life.
So it's sort of finding a decent balance of being able to, you know, go into a meditative space, time out, and so you do that enough so you can, okay, I'm ready to do some songwriting now.
That's right. And Wednesday is my songwriting day, and so I put that aside.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I do my best to put Wednesday aside, so that's when I'm actually working on it. So that's my songwriting day, and I always feel better on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, awesome. what advice would you give to someone who might be putting off, you know, pursuing their creative pursuits because their mental health is getting in the way?
There's two sides to it. The first one is to remember that the music, the creative side, can help with your mental health. But sometimes you have to deal with your mental health first. I mean, if you're having, you know, hallucinations, if your mood is swinging like you wouldn't believe, that's just, you know, two mental health issues that are off the top of my head. If that's happening, you really need to deal with your mental health first, because your mental health, music doesn't fix a mental health problem. Music can assist you in recovering from a mental health problem, but the actual, maybe you need to deal with mental health problem first with counselling, medication, psychological assistance, you know, sometimes even just taking time out to allow yourself to breathe. So I don't see music as the start. I see music as the midpoint.
And you have a EP coming out. Do you have any upcoming gigs where people can come and, watch you perform the new songs live?
Yeah, I'm having my EP launch gig at Mama Chen's.
All right.
Which is in Footscray, on the 16th of August at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So it's a Saturday, 2 p.m. One of the few medium-sized venues in Melbourne that is fully accessible. They've got wheelchair ramps. They've got disabled facilities. It is one of the very few fully accessible venues in Melbourne, which is why I chose it.
All right, fantastic. Is that something that the venue took to be accessible, you know, because
yes.
They're, yeah, all right, awesome. Yeah, yes. More venues should probably do the same.
That's right. They've purpose built it to be accessible, and that's part of their mantra.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, all right. And, just to close out the show today, do you want to play one of the songs from your EP and tell us a bit about the song and why you're choosing it?
Yeah, why don't we play You've Been Ghosted?
Yep, sure.
I did a video clip on that, which was a lot of fun. That's been on Rage three times now.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And basically, the song is the only song on the EP that's not very autobiographical, because I was actually ghosted and I thought, you know, this is something really, really good to write about.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about a hook and started thinking about that. And then my first question was, is do I do, oh, woe be me, I've been ghosted, or do I do, ha, 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 you've been ghosted? So I decided the latter.
Okay, so you put yourself in the shoes of the ghoster.
Ghoster.
All right. How did that feel, actually, putting yourself in the shoes of the person on the other side?
It feels like you're taking control of a situation.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, this, and I'm like, why would you ghost somebody? What would somebody do? What would flip you over the edge? And I was going through all these things because I'd never ghost anybody because I just think it's rude. You know, I'd have a conversation with them saying, I'm cutting contact because you've done this. And I'm like, well, what would put you in that situation? And so I really flipped the script.
Well, congratulations on the new EP, Jen, and I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I did.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on Brainwave today. Hopefully we'll hear from you again in the future.
I hope so too. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning into Brainwaves this evening. If you'd like to send us an email with some show ideas, or perhaps you'd like to join us to share your story, if so, you can contact us at brainwaves@wellways.org. Don't forget to check out Jen Frank play live at Mama Chen's in Footscray on the 16th of August at 2 p.m. We're going to close out the show today with a song from Jen Frank's upcoming EP, You've Been Ghosted. We hope you can join us for another episode of Brainwaves next week on 3CR.
Love in your life. Why did you have You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.